Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Weather State Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I'm fired up for today because we have two guests, two phenomenal guests.
I feel like this is our new thing. We're doing two at a time now.
It's a twofer. Yeah, it's a really, really phenomenal program today. We've got Jason Turcotte, who's been on the program before.
Past
he is, of course, the VP of Development at Cressy. And then we also have Craig Stangetta. So neither of us had an idea of how big of a fan we were of Craig's until we actually had him on the program. And turns
now
out
I might
been,
be called, I'd call myself a super fan.
You're a super fan. You are a super fan. We're super excited.
First of all,
about
he owns St. Marie, right? We knew about St. Marie. That was
design kinda, outfit. They're doing stuff with Cressy now.
Really kind of exciting stuff over there. But I wasn't aware of kind of the extensive resume, would you say that Craig has?
Yeah.
Not only in Hollywood movies, but also in restaurants. Adam, list some of the restaurants Craig's been involved in.
We're talking Pepino's. We're talking Savio Volpe. And there's other ones too. But those are the two that kind of stood out that I'm thinking like, man, those are the best restaurants in town.
It's interesting because this project that they're talking about that they've kind of teamed up with here, Format, is a Cedar Cottage East Van project. And a lot of his restaurants, he's also been involved in the design on Bao Bay and Kisatonto in Chinatown.
Sure.
Real kind of East Van aesthetic.
Exciting places. Exciting places to eat at and busy, fun restaurants to go to for sure. And always like, I mean, we love Savio Volpe, but you know, that's kind of Fraser Hood, I guess, as some people say. I still say Fraser. And then Pepino's is over kind of the North Commercial Drive area, but phenomenal places to spend your time at.
Basically, if you're looking for a Craig, a restaurant Craig's been involved in, look for a place that's hard to get a table 6 months out.
Yeah.
Busiest joints in town. So it was great talking to him. And also, as a kind of segue, how he's taken the design elements from a restaurant and thought about them in a real estate, kind of residential real estate context.
Right.
So very interesting stuff.
Exactly. And one of the things we talk about today is Cressy's project Format, which is really exciting. It's unique. It's something that hasn't really, that I haven't really seen in the Vancouver market. I don't think it's been done here. So stay tuned for that. But Matt, we also have to shout out our sponsor, Oakwin Realty.
That's right. Oakwin Realty. If you're a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody who's been in the business a long time looking to make a change, Oakwin Realty, I would argue, is probably the place you should be. Oakwin.com/join, type in VRP2020. That's Oakwin.com/join, type in VRP2020. You get a huge incentive.
Yeah.
The real incentive, like I say, is sitting down with these guys, learning what is going on at Oakwin. You won't be disappointed. But then that gift.
The gift, it's big.
It's big. It might be a sweatshirt big. I'm not even sure. Might even be a water bottle big.
Might be an XL sweatshirt. it's large, whatever it is. And Matt, we got to shout out the Sellers Club. We've had so many people get in touch about the Sellers Club. This is a club that's so hip. It's almost like Craig Stangetta designed it.
He might.
Or Mike part owner. Yeah. He might own it. Are we working for Craig? I don't know. But this is a great
list. I don't know if he wants to have his name attached to this list, but it's a great list.
This is for people who want to sell their home for top dollar in the shortest amount of time. These are actionable resources that we're putting out. And volume one has gone out. Volume two is going out. And it's going to be just a continuous drip of fantastic resources for sellers. So all you have to do is write to info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com and put in the subject line Sellers Club.
That's right. Or you sign up for the live wire and you can hit reply on that and get signed up. And just to be very clear, Adam, and you said it already, but this is not kind of pie in the sky stuff. This is like step one, step two, step three. You do these things, you get top dollar. it's written by guys who know what they're doing.
Exactly. And last but not least, Matt, we need to correct something in this Italian-themed episode, but we're talking Popolo.
Yeah, yeah. So we had a ton of people reach out about a new development over on Broadway near Commercial Drive that we talked to Derek and Asen last week about.
Right.
Called, as we said, Popolo. Now, shout out to Chris in Verona, longtime listener, who actually lives in Verona, Italy, and is from Vancouver. And she pointed out that all four of us sat around this table waxing poetic about Popolo when it's really actually Popolo.
You know who might have known that? The owner of Pepino's.
I feel like we've really dropped the ball here.
We should have. This whole thing. Pepino's.
You might even think a couple guys with the last name Scalina might have known that. But yeah.
Well, regardless, Matt, today's episode's got you covered from Pepino to Popolo.
Get in touch. Unless you want a reservation at Pepino's.
I can't.
We can't help you out. No, but if you want a reservation for Popolo, we're your guys.
Okay.
We're your guys.
All right. Well, enjoy this episode with Jason Turcotte and Craig Stanghetta. Okay, so we're here with Jason Turcotte, VP of Development at Cressy, and Craig Stanghetta, Principal and Founder at St. Marie. How are you both doing?
Great. Very good.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time today, guys. Really appreciate it. Can we start maybe, Jason, you're a past guest fan favorite on the program, but for those new listeners, can maybe, Jason, you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I run our development team here at Cressy, and had the opportunity to be here for quite a long time and built some really neat projects around the city. Cressy's a family-owned business, family-based business. It's been around and built in all kinds of real estate projects in our city in Washington State and Alberta for better part of 50 years. Anywhere from the Weston Whistler development that we did up in Whistler there to an equestrian-themed subdivision in Langley and industrial, everything in between. So it's been a real fun ride here for me. I've been here a long time, and I've had the opportunity to work on some really cool projects with really creative people like Craig.
Well, that's a great segue. And Craig, can you maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and St. Marie?
Yeah, sure thing. Well, our studio is about 10 years old now. We started primarily in the hospitality sector and food and beverage, and we kind of cut our teeth looking at everything through, you know, really designing from an experience first standpoint. And, you know, that's what typically moves the needle in the restaurant and hospitality sector. And I think we sort of embedded ourselves pretty firmly in Vancouver by doing that and having some pretty good success there. And about 5-6 years ago, we started to recognize that things in the world of real estate was sort of, we felt, moving towards our way of thinking about the built environment, which was to really try to, you know, engage with the human experience and try to make sure that the way people were kind of gathering and living and working was all done, you know, with the sense of, you know, a strong narrative and emotionally engaging in the built environment. And so we started to really make a move into working with some developers that valued that kind of thinking. And over the last 5 years, we've really pushed over there and have been doing some really cool stuff. And like Jason said, when we get a bit of breathing room and the license to do it, we can be as creative and if not more so in a lot of ways in this world right now. So we're pretty excited about that stuff that's happening and what we're able to contribute and the collaborations that we're being able to engage with teams like Cressy.
Well, and so one of the really interesting collaborations you guys are engaged in right now is a project called Format. When I heard about this and Adam and I talked about it, like, I don't think there's anything else like this in the city, as far as I understand. Can you guys talk a little bit about this new project Format, what it is, how it's different, Yeah.
Really fundamentally what format, you know, the different element to it all originates as really anything that we do in any project does. It's when we sit around the table and try and identify who our customer is. And when I say customer, I use that word intentionally because I'm not talking about, you know, an end user or an investor. I don't distinguish between those people. My customer ultimately is whoever lives in our homes or whoever, you know, rents our retail space or whoever, because ultimately that's who I need to appeal to. And if it's bought by somebody who's investment oriented, they want to know that their customer, the renter, is going to have a great space. So we started to look at who that customer was going to be. We got a kind of an emerging, changing East Vancouver landscape out there. We had the emergence of the millennial buyer as being kind of our primary audience, our primary customers. And they're a different group. I mean, they certainly have a very strong desire to influence their surroundings, to influence, you know, their day-to-day life in a way that maybe is different than generations before, that maybe sort of accepted the way things were a bit more, the challenging status quo was a bit more. And this notion of experiential, this word came up a lot, experiential. And frankly, I wasn't really sure what that meant, but it really kind of comes down to this idea that it's more than just about a place. It's about what happens in that place and how can I influence that place and how am I experiencing all of the parts of it? And so from that, this idea of giving choice and selection and an experience to our customer was born, and to help to put us a little bit on the map there in terms of offering something different and unique that would stand out in what at the time was, you know, we were conceiving this project to a large part in 2019 when the market was feeling a little soft, and we thought we need to stand apart a little bit. And the idea behind format and this flexibility and this everything you need, nothing you don't kind of concept was born. And you know, maybe Craig, you could touch a little bit on the details of what that all looks like. But that was really the backstory behind where we arrived at.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like that, I think the sort of cardinal point that you made was the idea of experience, the idea of how, like who the actual customer is. And I think that's honestly like a really strong differentiator. And I think for us, that's where we actually have something to sink our teeth into, because we feel like we've identified who we're making something for. And then the process ends up being trying to, you know, collaboratively work with all the players on the team to engineer something that's going to respond to that. And the only way that can happen is if Cressy as a developer is willing to put in the time and effort and sort of break the mold a little bit along the way. And that's kind of was fully embraced. And so, yeah, we sort of came up with this idea that, you know, we want to be building, look at it from two different ways. We're looking at the units as one thing, is if you're going to own your unit, let's make sure that we're having a bit of a lens to back out any of the stuff that you don't really need, you don't necessarily want to pay for. And some of that commodification that's happened in the Vancouver, condominium market is sort of typical countertops, typical kind of, you know, cabinetry, type of flooring, you know, maybe you're sort of, you know, drawing everywhere that you can, because that's become a standard and maybe that's what investors are responding to. And that's what sort of, you know, worked in the market for 10, 15 plus years, whatever. And so if we're throwing out that playbook, then we start to be able to analyze the space, in terms of what we can back out. And so we start having a conversation about saying, well, can we have, you know, the exposed concrete slab for the floor? Do we sort of keep the units open? Can we make sure that we're building a very usable kitchen and meeting like a standard that works for our customer? But then finding other areas where, you know, maybe we don't need certain things, and maybe that stuff doesn't show up in the end construction cost, but we start adding a level of some potential additions that will truly be useful for the people that are living in those spaces. And that's where we really started to unearth a whole bunch of cool ideas about these potential add-ons between, you know, a sliding partition door or a kitchen island that has, you know, three options depending on your lifestyle. And then a whole bunch of additional storage, which we think is just truly useful for people, but not just blanketed for any type of use, but allowing them a bit of specificity on how they can articulate those units so that they're actually useful to how they live. And then we start to carry that whole ethos over to the common areas and the amenity program. We're really digging in and making sure that these spaces are going to be used, that they're not just there to show up on a brochure in the sales journey, that they're something that when you're living there, you're excited to use those space. They sort of dovetail into how you live and to who you are. And yeah, we become incredibly dogmatic about that. And we start to think of it through the lens of how we would design for hospitality, because it's all about the user experience. And if we can make something beautiful, completely useful for the people that are going to be using it, then we think that we will, it'll resonate. And so that's been the journey here.
So a lot of people out there, just because this is somewhat of a new idea, I think, in our market, would you kind of describe it as like there's a bit of a blank canvas, maybe like at the beginning there's the unit and then it's kind of like a la carte options? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, we sort of look at the space as blank of a canvas as you could make it, while still delivering on all the, you know, we still want a great, functional, useful, bathroom. And then, you know, when we do our research and collectively with, our sales team, our branding team, and Cressy as a client, we know that this, this millennial user, even like Gen Z, or even like downsizers, we know that people are still really using their kitchens, and that food is really still incredibly important to how people live. So we embraced that completely and made an amazing kitchen. And Cressy already has a great foundation for doing that. So that we kept in, and then we decided what can we peel out, which is some of those things that I mentioned earlier. And then we start looking at this sort of kit of parts that you can add in as a series of extras.
Yeah. And it was done, you know, in parallel with sort of these principles of flexibility and ability to make your own imprint on how you might live in it. It was also done with this really mindful effort to have a product that was super sexy, right? Like, it's not just about, hey, let's dumb this down. It was, let's rethink this and still make it super sexy and super, super attractive aesthetically, and stand apart in a crowd. I mean, the one thing I always endeavor to do at every project we do is to not let it look like the one down the street. Like, I want our projects to stand apart in a group every single time. And so that was also a guiding principle. So, you know, the election to go to concrete floors wasn't necessarily because it's easier to do or even cheaper than, you know, a lot of the options that you have out there. But it gave this incredible amount of flexibility to how somebody might live in the future. And maybe down the road, somebody wants to change the floor. And it's pretty easy to do. You just put it right on top. But grinding and polishing concrete floors is by no means, you know, easier or more affordable. But it aligns with the spirit of what we're doing, and also is, you know, is super sexy when you put it in the right space and combine it with the right soft finishes.
So it sounds like this idea was kind of born from actually kind of challenges in the market, right, in 2019, but thinking about this new generation of buyers, has this been done anywhere else, or is this, like, it sounds like I feel like I'm almost still having trouble getting my head wrapped around it because it's kind of breaking the mold. But is this, have you seen this done elsewhere, or is this entirely a new thing?
Well, there are parts of the world where mm-hmm. where it's more common. Certain you know, countries or parts of the world, they sell more of like a shell type of approach, and really, like, when you buy a condo, the expectation is that, you know, you're bringing your builder in to finish it off. And to a degree, that was that formulated part of our thinking, but that, you know, we weren't quite prepared to go that far, right? We still wanted somebody to be able to walk in and have all of the things that they must have, right? You know, I mean, we're all about our kitchens. I wasn't about to, you know, build condos with no kitchens. I mean, what fun would that be? So, you know, there was a lot of different influences, right? This idea that you might be able to sort of finish it the way you want, but of course we need to be able to build it and do it in a way that has some streamlining, you know, built into it. So the options, although flexible and varied, are also thoughtfully done in a way that we can execute at the level that our customers are going to expect us to do.
And is this, so in terms of process, like I'm just thinking, you walk into the display center, you think, okay, I love this idea. I'm sold on format. Like, is the process then, you know, Cressy's the builder, but you sit down with somebody from St. Marie to talk through options, or how does that process look from kind of putting pen to paper and getting to the finished product?
Well, we developed some really great rendering tools and some short videos to explain the concept. And like everything, when you put this into this, you know, your idea is like a funnel, right? You know, some of the ideas start super, super broad and you do have to funnel them down a little bit into something that is executable. And so when people come into our PC, although it's maybe a little harder to wrap your head around, you know, in conversation, it is actually quite a smooth process. So you're going to pick your floor plan. You're going to say, this is how much space I need. This is where I want to be. These are my price points. This is, you know, views important or not important. And, you know, all the regular buying decisions.
Right.
And from there, you're going to be given the opportunity to look at a series of closet configurations and sizes, and they could go against this wall. Or, you know, if you have a king bed and the extra space is really important to you, and then maybe you arrange them this way, or maybe you're somebody that has a 150 pairs of shoes and you need mm-hmm. all shoe shelving and that kind of thing. Or I don't want the dining table. I eat out every night. I really need extra storage for X, Y, and Z. And so it'll guide your options for, say, your decision on the island type, or you might want your one bedroom to live a little bit more like a studio because you really mm-hmm. love the wide open space, in which case you might elect to leave it wide open. The choices are streamlined and put forward in a way that it makes the decisions quite easy and understandable. And we're about to launch our website, and the website's got a whole bunch of functionality built into it where this becomes really obvious on each individual floor plan, what those choices are and how you have the ability to influence the design of it.
And not to talk too much about, you know, starting prices or anything like that, but more from the perspective just where we're at with affordability in Vancouver. My thought was, when I first heard about this, was this allowed for kind of a potentially somebody to get into the market, without every new development, I guess, backing up a little bit, every new development over the last 4 or 5 years is kind of the best finishes. It's like one-upping, project after project. This strikes me as something where potentially my thought was you could get in a little bit cheaper. But actually, by the sounds of it, though, the kind of a la carte function of it, it at least seems like it puts more on your guys' plate in terms of getting this building completed, right? Is that, am I understanding that right? Or is there kind of an affordability component in this?
So the motivation or the opportunity, rather, from an affordability perspective in what we're doing in a nuts and bolts sense, is that we've taken a whole bunch of components of the building and sort of prepackaged them, if you will. A la carte was the word you used, and that's not wrong. And in doing that, my intention is to take some of those things off of what we call a critical path, right? So these become more like furniture pieces that can happen off of the primary work schedule. And so where that opens up an opportunity for us is in the timing of the project and being able to deliver it with a little more certainty on our schedule. And of course, schedule is super important to us and does impact costs and does allow us in our modeling to offer a little better value. And, you know, with there being the opportunity to go with a slightly you know, more open canvas or less, you know, less room dividers and all these types of things. There are some potential cost savings for sure. And though, again, so that does open it up a little bit as far as the affordability perspective. But, you know, we still need to deliver. We are still in Vancouver. Finishes are still, you know, generally speaking, a fairly small component of putting a building together. So it doesn't, it's not moving the needle in orders of magnitude, but certainly what you are able to get is a super unique product that's really sexy that you had some influence over, and you're not having to pay, you're certainly not having to pay a premium over the competition to do that.
Right, right. Makes sense. So maybe Jason, can you talk a little bit about why you're excited about the location?
Well, yeah, I mean, all you need to do is kind of look what's been happening now in Kingsway, right? I mean, we've seen the emergence of Main Street in such a massive way. I mean, Main and Kingsway, and then all of a sudden it was Fraser Street. And now we're hearing about Knight as being kind of the next, and it's kind of closing in from both sides, frankly. I mean, mm-hmm. You see so much development out at the other end of Kingsway. East Vancouver, generally speaking, has been the hottest market. Single family, multifamily, it's been very, very hot. I mean, our particular location is very central, you know, to anybody who's got, commuting is part of their day-to-day, whether they're going east to, say, Metrotown, Burnaby, whether they're going south towards the airport or Richmond, or, of course, you know, the 10-minute bus ride into downtown is pretty easy, too. So there's that centrality to it that's awesome. And it also connects really quite directly to the little community we call Cedar Cottage, which is kind of, you know, commercial street where, you know, Victoria Diversion meets Commercial Drive. And we've done a few projects in there, and we just love that neighborhood. And although this is a Kingsway address, it's actually, as a bird flies, it's like, it's right there. And so we intentionally put our presentation center right in that little strip on Commercial Street there, because that little neighborhood is really what it's all about as far as this site, and connecting it to that neighborhood was important to us. So yeah, I mean, there's just been so much focus on East Vancouver, and people love to entertain there and live there, and it's been a great market, and the response we're getting to the location and to the concept so far has been totally awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cool because you have, like you said, like your sort of front doors super connected via Kingsway, you know, Knight Street. Everything's kind of like very connected, but then your back door is that kind of super beautiful, calm, kind of quaint, and really kind of like community-based Cedar Cottage neighborhood, mm-hmm. right? And for all the stuff that we do for like the on the independent retail and restaurant side, that's like one of the most exciting neighborhoods. It's so interesting, and there's like really cool grassroots retailers and vendors and restaurateurs that are all sort of popping up around there. And I think, you know, you try to catch it on the upswing. And what's happening is like the kind of interesting fabric, you know, vendors and community things that are happening around there are probably, you know, it's kind of like what Mount Pleasant was, you know, 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's really starting to move that in that direction. And, you know, like the farmers markets, like Farmers Park, all that stuff is really cool. So it's a great neighborhood.
Maybe switching gears a little bit, one thing that strikes me in terms of kind of the experiential and, you know, moving from hospitality to real estate and conceiving or conceptualizing of this project, say, sometime in 2019, pre-COVID, like we've heard so much about how buying habits are either changing or are going to change because of COVID. I'm just wondering, from a kind of living through the last 6-8 months of how the world seems to have flipped on its head, like, do you see, has that factored into the way you guys are approaching this project, or how are you guys thinking that buying habits are actually changing the way some people predicted, or what are your thoughts on from that perspective?
And is one of the a la carte options a home office or a Zoom room?
Yeah, a Zoom room.
Yeah. I mean, I think we got lucky in that sense. We were tracking all of the the trends in that direction, which were, co-working or work from home, it was already on an upswing. Obviously, COVID's like accelerated that beyond our wildest imagination. But in terms of how we've programmed these amenities, all that stuff was really deeply layered in there. And we've made this kind of really cool connection between like the, CRU to our lobby and then really great, useful workshop space, co-work space. I mean, our whole lobby's kind of, the closest analog is like, I guess, a boutique hotel in the sense that it's both a great place to sort of lounge, but it's also conducive to working and small gatherings. And so I think we sort of, we were planning all that, and we were all, as a group, we were all sort of drilling down on the fact that the data was telling us that that stuff's not going away and it's going to continue to be relevant. But I think to our credit, we had fully embraced it and were just sort of marching in that direction with blind confidence regardless. And I think these circumstances have kind of just reinforced that we made a good decision on how to program all that amenity and embrace that kind of, boutique hotel ethos in that lobby space.
Yeah. And just to add to that, what has it really done is, people are spending a little more time at home, which means, having spaces that are comfortable, having spaces that are spacious enough that you don't feel, you don't feel the need to have to leave it just to get some breathing room. So, even though we're certainly aiming for some great value here, none of the spaces are micro by any stretch of the imagination, right? They're intended to actually be more spacious because the goal here was just this sort of like almost gallery style feeling of even a one bedroom home, where if you kept it wide open with the polished concrete floors and this sort of minimalistic sort of look, which is an option that someone could pursue, that it actually feels really big and comfortable. So maybe it was a bit lucky and certainly not being right, call it say like downtown or Yale Town, like something that's really dense to begin with. I think that also we have that going for us. Mm-hmm. I do think that there seems to be an increased heightened focus outside of the actual core, in part because of some of the consequences of the COVID pandemic.
Mm-hmm. In kind of final thought on that, we're always, and I think Jason, we've had you make predictions on the show before. Not so much predictions, but the last quarter, the last two quarters, say May and on through September here, has kind of surprised a lot of people in terms of market activity and how busy the market is. And my understanding is the new construction market's heating up as well. Has this surprised you? Like, I think September's on pace to be the busiest month since 2015 or 2016. Has this surprised you? And what's in store in your guys' minds for the next 6 months, year, in terms of the market here?
I think it surprised everybody. But that's what this market's been doing consistently now for a very, very long time, is continue to just sort of defy expectations. So in some ways it surprised everybody, but it shouldn't have been a surprise. The reality is nobody leaves this marketplace. I mean, people do. I mean, I don't mean literally nobody, but it very few people leave the marketplace. So even when we have an issue like this, you still have people having changes in their lifestyle, having changes in their, the marital status or their kids. So a lot of what we've been seeing over this past, months are people just, we did have a bit of an off year in 2019. No question. A lot of people sat around and, mm-hmm. and debated whether or not it was the right time to make a move. Is there an element to people trying to be opportunistic and maybe just getting frustrated with having not, been sitting on the sidelines and maybe waiting for something to move? Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a lot of what's driven it. But I do think that, with good fundamentals and projects conceived for, a more local audience, I think where we'll struggle, or, we've certainly seen an abundance of projects here that were not designed for a local audience. I think those projects will struggle. But the local audience is here, and whether that local person lives here now or is going to be one of the people who will continue to move here. Well-designed, well-conceived projects for you know, local people will continue to have success at varied, you know, paces. There's going to be some ebbs and flows. There's no question. But, you know, as you smooth that line over several years, you know, I see it being a really steady, predictable environment that we're going to have here.
Right on. Well, we have this segment, and I don't know, Jason, if you've done it.
I think we have had Jason on before.
Okay.
The Five Wire, five quick questions, maybe about your lived experience in Vancouver, but also a little bit about yourself. Can you guys stick around for that?
Sure.
Okay. Maybe we'll go Jason and then to Craig. But first of all, favorite neighborhood in Vancouver?
Vancouver proper?
Metro Vancouver, Metro Vancouver.
We'll go Metro Vancouver just to keep it interesting.
Okay, well, I'm a little biased here because I'm a North End guy, so I'm going to go Lower Lonsdale, and it's twofold, and I know it's supposed to be quick. One is because it really is an amazing little neighborhood of all these new restaurants and good density, but I think it's two is more just the degree to which it has transformed in such a short time. It is now, I think, one of the coolest places to live. And so that's, I'm gonna go with Lower Lonsdale.
That's a great answer. Craig?
Of course. I mean, I live on the North Shore as well, but I live near Deep Cove, and that's what I was going to say. But now Jason's kind of
I thought you were going to say Cedar Cottage.
This is the problem with the two-person five-wire.
I do like Cedar Cottage. Actually, you know what? I am really keen on Cedar Cottage and Commercial Drive these days. I have a small restaurant grocery at the north end of Commercial, and actually right next door to our PC for format is a bakery that I own some equity in called Flowerist. And so I've been sort of really keen on that neighborhood for a while. And I used to live there right before I moved to Deep Cove. So yeah, I would say Commercial Drive Cedar Cottage right now for me is very exciting. Cool, really cool restaurants going up there. Definitely has that sensibility of like that kind of old world authentic shops are still hanging on. I still feel it's like vibrant and quite safe, and I think it's weathering the sort of COVID storm quite well, whereas like, you know, Eastside, Gastown, Chinatown are just getting really hurt by this, which is sad, but I'm really keen on that neighborhood right now.
And just out of curiosity, the grocer on in North Commercial, did you say a grocery?
Yeah, a little grocery cafe called Latana.
Okay. Nice. Favorite bar or restaurant?
Well, man, I mean, I got a restaurateur on the phone with me. Yeah, put me in a bit of a pickle. You know, I love Italian food, and I'm going to go to the North Shore here because you know, there's a restaurant in West Vancouver called Mangiabeve. I love going there. It's a little bit old world in terms of the kind of service you get there. And the food's fantastic. Love going to that spot.
I don't think we've ever had a developer not come up with an Italian food restaurant in almost 5 years.
I have been to some of Craig's restaurants too, and they are fantastic. I just don't frequent them as much because, I tend to stick to the North Shore probably more so than venturing out.
Right. Well, I can't wait for your answer on this as well, Craig. What's your favorite bar or restaurant? And feel free to mention one of your own.
plugs fully allowed.
tough call. Okay. Well, I do. I co-own Savio Volpe and Pepino's Spaghetti House down Commercial Drive as well. And I don't know. I mean, like Savio I actually probably go to Pepino's more. And I'm really hoping that the thing with that is a small place. When we took that over, we were like, hey, this place is great. It's like, you know, Rat Pack style. There isn't a window in the place.
Right.
It's dark. You drink there. You eat too much. It's like a kind of debaucherous place. And
it's awesome is what it is.
So I'll go with Pepino's and I really love what's going on down there. The team right now down there is killing it. So I'll give them the shout out.
That's we've spent many a nights at Pepino's.
Yeah,
that's a good place to be. Yeah. What is one book that you recommend that our listeners read?
Oh, this might be at the risk of it being a bit cliche. A book that I read that I think I probably pulled more things from is Jobs. It's the autobiography of Steve Jobs. It's the one that he had commissioned. It's for anybody who hasn't read it. I mean, he is a weird and wacky guy, but some of his weird and wackiness was absolute brilliance, and I take a lot from that. Just particularly around his obsession with product and execution and user experience, packaging. I mean, it's a totally different industry than what we're in, but a lot of the principles are relevant to what we do. And so that's one that, for me, I would say if you're in business and you haven't read it, read it.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. And Craig?
Well, I think that the book that I always go back to, it's a business book called Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Right.
And the reason why I think that the best thing about that is that it's probably not dissimilar to how we've been talking about this project. It's about defining, you know, what you can excel at, and the way he says it is what you can be the best in the world at, and then rallying around that principle. And that's not about like just making a blind decision about it. So it's about like sort of looking inward and saying, can we be the best at this? And I think that idea of embracing a niche, whether that's like through what your brand does or on a per project basis, I think that's been, we're pretty dogmatic about that here, is trying to own what you can truly excel at and then pursuing it completely. And I think that's how you get a degree of excellence and uniqueness that helps you do something exceptional, rather than trying to, you know, keep up with the Joneses or compare yourself from one person to the next. Just Jason said that essentially at the top of the call, that it's something that you guys strive to do. And I think that's kind of emblematic of this project. It's, you know, the group made the decision and sort of going after it. And I think that kind of work is the most exciting.
Oh, great answer. One piece of advice you would give your 18-year-old self. And then there's only one more after this, guys, and we'll let you go. We know you're busy.
A piece of advice I would give my 18-year-old self. You know what? That's actually an easy answer. I would tell myself, you're not going to know a freaking thing until you're in your mid-30s, so don't pretend to. listen to everybody. Learn as much as you can. Take nothing for granted. Be a sponge, because it's not until you start to get into your 40s that you realize that, man, I don't still really know much. And, you know, I certainly knew nothing when I was in my 20s. You know, like, you know, you think you're grown up, but the world's got a lot of variables. And I'm pretty sure that's the advice I'd give myself.
And Craig?
Yeah, why doesn't anyone tell us that? Or we probably just don't listen.
I feel like somebody told me that. Yeah.
I would just say be persistent. And I think I kind of ended up learning that along the way. But at the time, I was, you know, thought that, you know, success was, it can, you know, you sort of, it can happen quick. And then you know, if you've had any degree of success, you quickly realize that even if you are successful, that nothing matters more than continuing to strive and reinvent and persist. And so I think that's what I would say, is just keep, I try to tell my daughter that, just, you know, don't worry if you get it right or win or succeed, just as long as you can learn how to persist.
Right. That's a great answer. And last but not least, what is something that you've bought in the last year or two for under $1,000 that's positively impacted your life?
Oh, I think I know what I said to you last time, and it was probably anything for my wife is probably what I told
you.
That's
coming back to me.
Can I say the same thing again?
Yeah, go ahead. If you're still, you know, still making your wife happy.
happy wife, happy life. I think they for under $1,000. Let's think about that. We got into doing a bunch of camping this summer and made the decision that, you know, having a little RV trailer was going to be fun. And it really was. And so just some of the simple little camping tools that I bought, and I'm a guy, I like toys. And so some of the stuff that we bought for the summer, and we had some, you know, great memories, you know, building fires and camping with the kids. So we'll go with some camping stuff to answer that question differently this time.
That's totally a 2020 answer, I feel like, but a good one, a good one. And Craig?
I think I will go with, I bought a record player and that's been fun. I mean, you're stuck in your house all the time. You can only watch so much Netflix or whatever. So I've been trying to get back into slowing things down, listening to some vinyl and, I don't know, finding new music.
Right on.
You could poll your listeners here about who's cooler at the end of the show. But, if there was any doubt before that answer, I think Craig just sealed the deal.
I'm lucky because I got to go second. I get to stall.
I got put on the spot.
Oh man! Well, thanks so much for taking the time. So, can maybe Jason, like, how can people find out more about not only Cressy but Format?
Certainly the website is available now for registration, and get your registration in there to sort of get all the updates. We're getting real close to having our little presentation center up and running, which is, as Craig mentioned, right next to the Flowerist on Commercial Street. So we'll be doing some appointment viewings there in the near future. But formatbycressy.com is Google that, Format by Cressy. Jump on the website. It's about to go fully live here shortly with all of the interactive features, but get on there and register and get all the information.
Right on. And you, Craig, how can people find out more about what you're doing in St. Marie?
You can check us out on our website, Instagram, and, you know, just basically that's it. And we'll pop up from time to time. You know, these kind of things.
You're not going to give your cell number out, Craig?
I'll just give you my pager. Also, don't forget, you can check out our restaurant spaces, Savio Volpe, Pepino's, and La Tana.
We're in big support of those restaurants over here.
Big fans, that's for sure. Well, thanks so much, guys, for your time. That was a really interesting conversation. And Format sounds like really kind of breaking the mold here in an interesting way. So exciting stuff.
Well, come on in and check us out, guys. I'll walk you through personally. It'd be my pleasure. And thanks for having us.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Craig Stangetta and Jason Turcotte.
Really enjoyed that conversation with Jason and Craig, Matt. Great guys. Great having them on the program. Would have loved to have had them in studio, but we'll have to do that next time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was – I feel like more so often we can point to, like, this is what was interesting about our conversations on the podcast.
Right. There's like a main takeaway.
There was a main takeaway. In this case, I was thinking about it, and it's hard to really put your finger on, like, there's interesting stuff about the market. I think Format is something that's totally new and unique.
Yep.
But it had to do more with kind of just that you get the sense that these guys are really immersed in the city and kind of really progressive, like really pushing the city forward, totally. Whether it's from the, you know, the development of something like Format or the restaurants, or just looking at, you know, Knight and Kingsway, the way that Craig was talking about Knight and Kingsway,
sure,
that area, North Commercial, like it's just these finger on the pulse.
Well, also, I mean, they're both catering to, like, it's they're both doing very tricky things, like from a design perspective. Like, especially when it comes to restaurants in a city, right? Like, you have to come up with something that, from a design perspective, that everybody who is like foodie, sophisticated taste in like restaurant or like going out and dining thinks is cool. That's a
tough ask.
Well, it's something that a lot of people don't even know is cool. Like you got to be way ahead of it, right?
Yeah.
People don't even understand that it's cool yet.
You don't like it at the beginning of the meal, and by the end, you're like, this place is amazing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And then the other interesting thing, and I think this is such a Vancouver, this maybe not, but it feels like peak Vancouver type stuff, is that guys that are involved in designing the hippest restaurants are now moving to residential real estate as well.
Sure.
Who
better than with Cressy to do that?
No kidding. Well, Cressy and the kind of the experiential stuff that they're talking about, like it makes sense, but you don't hear that very often.
It's very, very progressive. It's really exciting. And I'm glad we got to have these guys on the program. What else do we got before we cut for the week?
What else do we have? Well, the fall market is here. I think we're on pace to have a very, very busy September.
Yes.
And we have the Sellers Club.
The Sellers Club, Matt, is where you can get the best resources if you are considering selling your property for the top dollar in the shortest amount of time. That's what we do here at the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. We create these resources. It's actually actionable plans to help you sell your property. And if you are thinking about listing in the fall market, you should get in touch because we can help you with that as well.
Absolutely. These are step-by-step plans to get you top dollar. It's that simple, written by guys that know what they're doing. The other thing we have, Adam, is VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. That is where you can sign up for all things related to Vancouver real estate. The Livewire, our weekly mailer, we got deal of the month. We got stats going out before anyone else, stats that you're not going to get from the real estate board. We also have private client services.
And Matt, if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, you get days on market. You basically get realtor level information at your fingertips. It's free. It's the best way to look for real estate in Vancouver. And it's available on our site, VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Absolutely. If you want to talk about that, or anything else except getting a reservation at one of those restaurants because I can't help. Yes. 778-847-2854 or matt@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And if you want to talk about leaving the gun and taking the cannoli, it's 778-866-4574 or adam@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
We also got that secret line, info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Every time Secret thinks he's out, we pull him back in.
Take care, guys.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.